south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Well, somebody finally did it. Lag time has caught up. Now, if you remember, a long, long time ago, almost 5 years now, when I first started the show, I mentioned quite a few ideas for expats and gringos coming down thinking they had to have a job or at least make some money down here. You know, I throw out that stuff every once in a while. You know, as you see things, you say, hey, you know what they need, or you know how they got to fix that, or I can do that a lot better than those idiots. When you're down here with boots on the ground for a while, those kind of ideas flood right in. I mean, sometimes it's like a tsunami, but you can't act on every one of them. In fact, you can't act on even 2% of them. So you got to pick your battles, as they say. Anyway, about 4.5, 5 years ago, when I first started this show, I mentioned that there is a great need for some clever gringo to come down here and give seminars or weekend courses on women's self-defense. No, not karate or anything like that, but just simply how to take care of yourself or how to avoid trouble when you're out and about and on the street. Now, back then, I remember mentioning how occasionally a woman gets kidnapped down here, you know, usually a pretentious, upscale Latin woman showing off. Once they get a little money, they just have to show everyone they've got things. Big mistake, they never learn from it, but that's life down here in Latin America amongst the gringa wannabe crowd. Anyway, gazing at the local papers in some of the big Latin American cities, I've noticed that there's some half-page ads that have been running in the last few weeks, showing an upscale Latin woman with an expensive purse confronting a guy trying to steal it from her. A guy with a mask on and a gun pointed in her face. So it's good marketing because that's what every upscale woman is worried about down here. So the ad says, in Spanish of course, learn women's self-defense from an international American first world specialist. Yep, the gringo advantage rides again. So who is this specialist? Could be you, could be me, who knows? This is the land of the BS, and no one's ever going to hold you to that, so isn't that what marketing's all about anyway? Like I said, down here there is no truth in advertising. You can say anything in your promotions and ads, and no one will ever hold your feet to the fire. It's buyer beware, though, of course. That said, it looks like there's been exactly a 4.5 to 5 year lag time on bringing weekend women's self-defense courses to big cities in Latin America. Now get this. This group is coming through Latin America, giving a 5-hour course on a Saturday and a Friday. That's plenty of time to teach an upscale, pretentious Latin lady the basics she should already be aware of to keep herself from being a target. So she'll learn the techniques all right, but she'd have to do something that is absolutely against her nature. That would be dressing down, driving an inconspicuous smaller car, and ditching the designer clothes, the diamonds and the real jewelry, and the $1,000 iPhone. So they'll listen attentively for that 5 hours and buy into it until they get outside again, and then they're back to their usual ways. Why would anything change, right? However, they will get that all-important diploma, which will end up in a conspicuous place of honor in the house for everyone to see. It's especially important if that diploma is in English or it's highlighted that the instructor was a gringo. Have I told you lately that Latins are just nuts about diplomas of any kind? Oh, and by the way, there's a picture of a guy in the ad that looks like a Marine or a Navy SEAL. All the better for marketing, but I guarantee you it won't be that same guy giving the course. That's just for the ad. Now, this is a carbon copy of the idea I mentioned 4 or 5 years ago. I spelled it out just like that, by the way. So it's like this. An expat wannabe gets together with a bulked-up Navy SEAL or Marine from their Cleveland neighborhood. He's probably unemployed, as most vets are. Then, putting the actual women's self-defense program together would take about 2 days. It's dead easy. Nothing special you can't just rip right off from the internet. That's exactly what they're doing here. You got some Dwayne Johnson-looking guy, you know, The Rock, only like a foot smaller because he is one of a kind, you know. They put a few ads in the local newspapers, charging $100 a head, exclusively aimed at upscale Latin women. In this ad, they've got the instructor looking like The Rock, a masked bandit with a gun, and a 100% blonde, perfectly gringo-looking woman in distress. Believe me, they don't make them like that down here. They don't exist. Anyway, just to let you know, that's how lag time works and how us gringos spot opportunities that we just never act on. Because still, a great percentage of emails that I get these days are from listeners who are expat gonna-bes and wannabes who've got sort of limited funds, wondering and worrying about when they get down here if and when that money's going to run out. And they even give me a figure. Like, for example, the other day I got an email from a guy saying, I have $21,000 in the bank. How long will that last me when I get down here? Well, that's just a question I cannot answer. I know plenty of backpacker types who come down here with just $5,000 or less, and they don't plan on going back. If you do live that frugal backpacker style of life, that could easily last you a year. I'm speaking off the gringo tourist trail, that is. I mean, if you want to go 5-star in first class, $5,000 could last you a month, or even 2 weeks if you're in Panama or Costa Rica. The point is, if you haven't figured out 20 different ways to make money by the time you've been down here 6 months with boots on the ground, then maybe you shouldn't leave Milwaukee or Cleveland. Stick it out a few more years at Office Depot or that car parts store. So there you have it, just another missed opportunity for wannabes and gonna-bes, or maybe it's not. Maybe this women's self-defense seminar idea is the work of a previous gonna-be or wannabe, only it took them 4.5 or 5 years to get it up and running and on the road. Anyway, that's how things work down here, and if you're a procrastinator, and at times I think I'm pretty good at it, well, I assure you, Latin Americans have got you beat. It's a society that excels in procrastination, so just keep that in mind. So what else? Oh yeah, I did mention Panama there, being on the gringo tourist trail. Now, you know I don't much recommend Panama unless you got a lot of money and you like heat, and you like to be in occasionally scammed because you're a gringo and you like gringo prices. Now, there's more bad news. Turns out, on the 2nd of July, the Minister of Commerce and Industry signed a decree forcing price controls on 28 consumer products. You know, it's the kind of thing that Nixon did way back when. That didn't work. And of course, price controls never work. That just fosters gray markets and black markets and shortages, like in Venezuela, where you can't even get a decent cup of coffee anymore, or ladies' feminine hygiene products. Ouch. Now, when that happens, it always makes me think, who in the hell are these guys in government? Are they that dense? All you have to do is look up price controls and you see they never, ever work. Well, again, it's the nepotism, crony, buddy-buddy system in all Latin governments. When you find out what these guys' backgrounds really are, you say, how in the hell did that group of morons ever get in positions of power? Now, speaking of working at a car parts store, I saw an interview with a guy running for president of Panama. And when the interviewer asked him what his scholastic credentials were, he fumbled around a bit. And the interviewer looked at his notes and said, psychology, right? And my notes say, you got that degree online and it took you, what, 8 years? Then the candidate said, yeah, but that was during a family crisis and I had to support my family. Then the interviewer said, all that time you worked as a car parts seller, right? And you were there when the place got shut down because they were selling stolen parts, correct? And believe me, the candidate squirmed and turned bright red. Now, I ask you, aside from selling stolen car parts, have you ever met anyone who took 8 years to get a friggin' psychology degree? Better question yet, do you know anyone with a bachelor's degree in psychology who isn't working at McDonald's or Starbucks? Well, down here it qualifies you for that and the presidency. Anyway, as of July 2nd, Panama has put the lid, that is price controls, on 28 different consumer products, including vegetable oil, meat, chicken, fruit, sugar, etc. And they're doing this, a government spokesman says, to lower the cost of basic items for a family of four by, get this, $56 a year. Now, the thing that really smells bad about this is that these kind of things come around right before election time. That's how these parties stay in power forever. They throw a bone to the sweaty masses, the largest segment of the population. They're not only poor, they're vastly undereducated and are easily bought. Now, Panama is one country that politicians will do anything to stay in office. Why? Because the Panama Canal itself is the biggest source of slush funds a politician could ever want. It's forever in need of repair and expansion, so there are virtually hundreds of sweetheart contracts issued on that thing every month. And who do you think those contracts go to, and who gets to skim off the top of each one? Why, the government in power, of course. Which is why every medium and high-level politician, as well as all the guys in Congress, end their careers as multimillionaires. And why three past presidents are either in jail or under indictment. And funny thing, they almost never get indicted or go to jail while they're in office. It always happens a few years afterwards, when cronies get pissed and talk because they find out they didn't get their cut or their piece. Though one of my long-term expat friends who lives in Panama says there is a saving grace to all that. It's that the politicians don't have to steal from the general tax base trough, as they do in almost all other Latin countries. The Panama Canal itself is their milk cow and their main line to riches. They don't have to steal directly from the taxpayers. And remember, the sign of a desperate first world government is price controls. As opposed to the third world, when price controls show up there, it's all about getting the sweaty masses to vote so the party in power can stay in office. Okay, and now an email. This from Claudia in Minnesota. She says, Johnny, I live in a typical middle-class community up in the Twin Cities, and so many times I nearly signed up for your seminar, but in the end I always kind of chicken out because I have this phobia, you see. I absolutely can't stand and am terrified of spiders and worms. Actually, tiny little spiders I can handle, but anything that's bigger than a penny, I just kind of freeze and, well, it's not pretty. And I know over the years you've told various stories about different creepy crawling creatures that are in Latin America and how everything's much bigger, much hairier, and much scarier. At least to me it sounds that way. So before I almost sign up for one of your seminars again, here's my question. You talk about nice suburban gated communities and residential towers that you say are pretty good and faithful replicas of the same up here, which must mean they're pretty clean and spick and span, right? If not, please tell me the reality concerning spiders and other bugs. Oh, and by the way, I even went for hypnotherapy some years ago. When I was married, I had such a bad case of arachnophobia that I wouldn't go down in the basement to do basic things like the laundry. A lot of marital discord over that, I can tell you. Yes, the hypnosis did help. I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to make a move all the way down to Latin America and find I have to wear a helmet, rubber gloves, and waders just to go to sleep at night. Please be honest about this and don't tell me to come down and have my house fumigated every month. I pride myself on eating healthy organic stuff and I'm not going to bombard my house with those nasty pesticides. Thanks for all the great shows. See you at the next seminar. Maybe. Claudia. P.S. Based on your last two shows, I guess when I come down, I'm going to have to find myself a gringo. It sounds like if you date Latin guys, you have to revert to high school tactics with them. I don't think I'm ready to do that again. I'm thinking off the gringo tourist trail, but I'm also thinking within a half hour's drive of a place where I can meet up with gringos. Is that a bad idea? Am I asking for too much? Okay, a lot of stuff there. Thanks for that, Claudia. Now, let me be entirely 100%, actually 1,000% brutally honest. You will, I guarantee, see annoying things in greater quantities and exponentially greater sizes than you'll see up in the States, especially if you're up in a place like Minnesota. And yes, if you pick the right first world guarded location, you can minimize the creepy crawlies with the help of your cleaning lady, of course. But you're going to have encounters and you're going to see things. For example, let's take expat Eddie. He lives in El Salvador in a very high-end subdivision, you know, lots of Range Rovers, SUVs, and bodyguards and all that. Not him. He drives a 1998 Dodge Ram pickup. Gotta love it, huh? No dings and dents in it, though. He does keep up the bodywork. Anyway, now remember, he's got a full-time gardener, full-time maid, and his place, in fact, the whole subdivision, looks like it's out of Better Homes and Gardens. With that, let me tell you this little story that happened maybe about 3 months ago. One day, Eddie walked into the master bathroom, and his cleaning lady was spraying all kind of noxious crap all over the place, you know, pesticides and stuff. And Eddie said, you don't want to do that without ventilation. And he walked over to the jacuzzi and opened a big opaque glass sliding window, and she ran over to him and started closing it. He said, what you doing? I'm going to open this. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to tell you, this is on the second floor of his house. She says, no, that's all right. Don't open that. And Eddie said, you crazy? We need some air in here. So he flung it open. And the cleaning lady backed herself up against the sink with a ghastly look on her face. And Eddie said, "What's wrong? What's wrong with you?" And she said, "Look, murciélagos. Do you know what those are? Bats." Nope, there weren't bats flying around. It was daytime. However, in the tree, not 10 feet away from the window, there were 30 or so bats snoozing away, sleeping upside down, like bats are inclined to do. Oh, Eddie said they were small bats, about 6 or 8 inches long, but still, it was a kind of a startling scene, he said, because, you know, every day he goes into that bathroom and he sleeps in the room right next door, and here, there's all these bats living not 10 feet away. And that's when Eddie said, "Now I get it." He said, "You know what, Johnny, every night, for I don't know how long, I'd hear this kind of thumping against the window, very soft and gentle, but all the time I was thinking it must be tree branches in the wind brushing up against the window. Anyway, after that bat experience, late that night, when all the lights were off, I heard that noise again, and I took my big high-powered flashlight, and I walked in there, stuck the flashlight up to the window, and sure enough, a dozen little bat faces were thumping up against the window on the other side, scooping up mosquitoes and bugs. That's where they were having dinner every night, against my window right next to my jacuzzi. And what did Eddie do about it? Absolutely nothing. To him, it's kind of a cool, secret little pleasure. Now, Eddie hasn't told very many people about it. He's never even told his fiancée. She'd have freaked out. Oh, and another thing. Eddie says about 3 times a year, he has to send his maintenance man up a long ladder with a broom and a pole to smack the wasp in the hornet nest that always seem to show up. And Eddie said it's really easy to figure out when that happens. He'll be sitting quietly, reading the paper or looking out the kitchen window, and suddenly he'll hear a low, faint background hum coming from outside somewhere. And he knows, he says from experience, that's when the wasps, hornets, and wild bees out there somewhere have produced a queen or two, and they're out looking for another place to nest. And when they find a place, a couple times a year, under his eaves or on top of a door, that queen will land, and suddenly, within 10 or 15 minutes, there'll be 1,000 bees or wasps gathered in a ball right on the side of his house, starting to make a hive. He'll hear that buzz of activity going for days. And if you let them go for days, they'll build a nice, solid hive there. So that's why he has his maintenance man go after these guys with stick and broom as soon as he hears that hum. Because, you know, if left to their own devices, they'll build a rock-solid house as big as a football. Then the maintenance man has to kill the ones flying around with insecticide and chisel that hive off, which always wrecks the paint job. So then you might ask, are those wasps and bees dangerous? Well, I guess they are, because Eddie's maintenance man said when his uncle was clearing a lot some years ago, he whacked a hive unknowingly and got stung to death. Actually, he was asphyxiated because he got stung so many times around the mouth and neck that his throat swelled and he couldn't breathe. Now, he was way out in the boonies and didn't have anywhere to run to, but still, he can't be deader than dead. Even so, Eddie's maintenance man, that was his uncle, said, "You don't bother them, they don't bother you." And believe me, you know it when you're getting close to one of these hives, because I've heard that sound before too when walking through the woods or walking through one of my own backyard gardens where there are some big trees. You hear that buzzing in a far-off distance and you know there's some big-time bee, wasp, or hornet activity going on, and they're probably ejecting a queen or two. In fact, this very minute I'm looking out a window and I can see one of those big hives way up in a pine tree. And, you know, 99% of the time, you don't hear that sound. They're rather dormant. Now, if you're worried about those things, they're all over the place in the woods and wherever there are trees. Just don't go hacking into them or throwing rocks at them and you'll be okay. So leave them alone if they're on a tree somewhere, even close by, they won't bother you. But when they're on your house or on the top of a door, you gotta do something about it. Now, if you're really the tolerant and passive type and wouldn't hurt a flea or a cockroach, still, if you have one of those things on your house, if you open a window, some of those wasps or bees are bound to get inside. That's happened to me. That's happened to all of us. In fact, I have a fireplace, and every once in a while, a couple of bees or wasps will sneak through the flue, so I know there's got to be a hive or a nest nearby. And, you know, I like to keep the windows open, and like I said in the past show, hardly anyone down here has screens. Most people, even with new housing, have just a kind of a louvered window, and you open them when necessary. which means I generally have to kill about 20 big fat wasps a year. I don't like those things. And every year, a handful of honeybees get into the house too, but that's what you get if you like to leave your windows open. Now, that's not to say you can't buy screens for your house. You can, but oddly enough, even wealthy people don't have them, or they just have a few screens here and there. So then, let's talk about the happy subject of snakes. We love those, right? Eddie told me just about 2 weeks ago, he was walking up the stairs in his house, and sure enough, there's about a foot and a half long little black snake all coiled up there. And how'd it get in? Well, doors here in Latin America do not have weather stripping or pressure fit thresholds. Some of them are tight fitting, but where the door actually meets the floor, a lot of times it's just kind of a Spanish tile that's not quite even. You know, rustic Spanish tile isn't. Meaning there's always about a quarter inch or more gap between the door and the floor, and amazingly, fairly good-sized critters can wiggle through. Beetles, geckos, spiders, scorpions, frogs. In fact, whatever small stuff you got living outside in your yard or garden will try to get in. Especially during the rainy season when it gets a little cold and damp and the animals like a nice, soft, cozy, warm place to hang. So, Eddie said when this harmless-looking snake was coiled up on the stair, his girlfriend came over and gave out a shriek. She freaked out and Eddie killed it. And the next day, when Eddie showed it to his maintenance man, sure enough, it was poisonous. Then the maintenance man said, yeah, I killed two of them about 3 or 4 months ago in your backyard. Again, like his maintenance guy said, you don't mess with them, they don't mess with you. So it is an occupational hazard for agriculture workers and maintenance guys and gardeners. They're confronted with those things all the time and know what to expect. So, how poisonous was that little black snake? Enough to kill a dog or a young kid and make life pretty painful for an adult. And by the way, all the hospitals and clinics in Central and South America have anti-venoms because gardeners and agricultural workers do get bitten occasionally. In fact, every maintenance worker and gardener has a story about a friend or family member who's been bitten by a snake and had to be rushed to the hospital. And when the hospital's hours away, home traditional remedies are applied and believe it or not, most of the time, they actually work. That's according to both Eddie's and my gardener. So, should you be worrying about snakes? Well, I'll tell you this. I've seen some snakes down here, some gigantic ones on the road, dead, you know, driving by. And a couple of years ago, I was looking out my back window, and I saw a couple of them shamelessly fornicating in the backyard. They were small, greenish-brown snakes, about 2, 2.5 feet. So then, were they poisonous? Well, only your gardener knows for sure. Workers down here know practically everything about the local animals, and it's a good thing, too. Now, over the years, I've found some molted snake skins in my backyard, too, which means they've been around. But not to worry. Like all gardeners will tell you, you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. You're really in no danger at all unless you're walking through the campo, that is, out in the boonies, and the brush is high and you happen to step on one. So do wear your walking or hiking boots. Not that it's ever been a real problem. In my 25-plus years down here, I've never known or heard of a case of a gringo or even a backpacker getting bit by a snake. That's not to say I haven't heard plenty of stories from people saying they've seen a snake here and there, always at a distance. But no one I've ever heard of has actually been attacked or bitten. So to run down the complete list of animals and critters that have made it into Eddie's house, he says he's had now bats, he's had snakes, he's had a possum in the house, scorpions, mice, hummingbirds, and he says that's always a disaster because they fly up into the highest skylight dome and they kind of fry themselves out because they have to eat all the time. So they lose energy fast, doesn't take long before they drop and hit the ground. Then, when you pick them up, they're so fragile sometimes you damage them while you're trying to save them. In fact, he says he's had 3 or 4 different kinds of birds that have somehow gotten into his house, and he's had gigantic moths and butterflies and lizards and worms and a frog and a toad here and there, too. Yep, Claudia, I said worms. Sometimes in the rainy season, you see a worm or two crawling up or hanging on a wall. Nothing to write home about, but when people ask me if I have worms, I say, well, no more than the next guy. Oh, and don't forget the occasional cricket and grasshopper. Now, it's not like your house is infested with these guys, but it's true, during the rainy season, some of them do make their way in. And so at night, If you're a light sleeper, occasionally you'll be disturbed by the crickets that have made it into your house and you'll never be able to find them. You'll just hear them. Believe me, I've tried. And one cricket in the dead of night in your living room somewhere sounds like an orchestra. Those things are sneaky. Oh, and I forgot, the luciérnagas. That's the lightning bugs. A couple of months a year, those guys are out in force and occasionally they'll find their way into your house somehow, who knows. I've had that happen, and in a way, it's kind of cool. So then, back to Claudia's original question. What about those spiders? Oh yes, I see them all the time, and they've got these very weird spiders down here that are almost as flat as a thin piece of cardboard, yet they could be as big around as a hockey puck. Now, you don't see big ones like that very often, but you occasionally see the smaller ones crawling around on your ceiling at night. Now, no, they don't seem to like each other much. There's usually only one to a room. And after a while, if you don't kill the guy, you get to know his patterns. But like Claudio, I don't like spiders much either. However, I don't go out of my way to kill them, unless they're really big or close by. Now, Eddie, who's pretty much tolerant of anything, occasionally when his girlfriend freaks, he'll kill a spider instantly with the back of his hand. Now, he tells me he hits them just right so he never gets their guts on his hand. I'm sure all you ladies out there will appreciate that. So then, do those spiders bite or sting? Well, they must, because occasionally, with me anyway, I feel an itch and catch myself looking at a little red spot that's not so little, like, for example, if you get nailed by a mosquito. So yes, at night, spiders have been known to get frisky. Now, like I said, I'm talking about living out in the boonies in the coffee fields, so you're going to get more exposure to that kind of stuff. So I guess if spiders are truly biting people at night, I never hear anyone complaining about it. Though, like I said, I've had the telltale signs myself. And the side effects? Well, no real pain, just itching. You don't even hear stories like that from backpackers, who normally have 30 or 40 welts on their legs anyway. Especially the ones that are gringo stupid enough to wear shorts all the time. So anyway, no matter how much you hate insecticide, have some bug spray on hand because it does help in certain situations. So I guess that means, Claudia, you're not coming down, right? Meaning, all you expat gringos down here looking for a date, you can cross her off the list. Hey, you know, it's kind of stuffy in here. I think I'll open a window. Oops. Glad it's not in my house.
Stop it!
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old